From Christmas trees to toys, from bourbon to bed and breakfasts, many of the things that we want or need to celebrate the upcoming holidays can be found right here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. With Thanksgiving just a week away, we'll discuss all the possibilities of a Kentucky proud holiday season, and we'd like you to be an integral part of this conversation. We have guests in the studio who'll offer their suggestions and ideas, and we'd like to have yours. Write to us right now with your questions, comments, stories, or suggestions, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. You can post your comment to the WEKU Facebook page or send a tweet at WEKUEST. In just a few minutes, we'll open up the phone lines and invite you to join us on the air as we discuss Kentucky proud holidays. It's time for Eastern Standard, right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen, and this week, a topic appropriate for the season, having a Kentucky proud holiday season. We have representatives of Kentucky proud brands and actually of the Kentucky proud effort statewide on our program today, and we'd like to hear from you. We're interested in hearing your suggestions, ideas, maybe stories of Kentucky proud products and how you incorporate products of Kentucky into your holiday season. We're going to invite you to interact with us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Post on the website or the Facebook page, or give us a call, and I'll go ahead and give that number. It'll be a few minutes before we put a listener on the air, but you can get on the line right now at 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. And let me introduce the guests who are with me in the studio today. Three ladies, and first up we have Melanie Blandford, who is Executive Director, if I can talk this morning, Executive Director of Marketing for the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, and a big chunk of that effort is Kentucky Proud Products. Melanie, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. We're excited to be here today.
Also with us is Margie Baldwin, and Margie is from right here in Richmond, and Margie, I guess, is one of the owners, proprietors of Baldwin Farms in Richmond, an agritourism farm, and you open your farm to the public to come in and, what, participate in activities as well as purchase products, get their Christmas tree and so forth?
That's right. It's very seasonal, so we're not open every day for everybody, but during Christmas tree season and pumpkin season, and a little bit in the summer for vegetables.
Excellent. And also with us, Gwen Hefner. And Gwen is the PR person, the person who does the outreach from the Kentucky Artisan Center in Berea. Gwen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
I want to turn to Melanie first to talk about this whole concept of Kentucky Proud. Not exactly a long history. It's relatively recent. You were saying that Kentucky Proud came about early in the 2000s?
Yes, sir, it did, yeah. It started several years ago, but our goal has remained the same. It's a brand for Kentucky agriculture, and it really aims to market Kentucky agricultural products that are grown, raised, or processed in the Commonwealth. And when you buy a Kentucky Proud label, you know you're contributing to your state. You're going to help a fellow Kentuckian, and it's all about those farm families and businesses across Kentucky.
Let's talk about the range. What does Kentucky Proud encompass? Products, services of various kinds?
Yes, sir. We have we're over 5,000 members to date, and that represents a wide variety of different types of businesses. We have agritourism businesses like Mrs. Baldwin with Baldwin Farms. We have a variety of different types of businesses that make up those members. Everything from restaurants to producers to farmers, growers. Anybody that's really involved in food and food service.
What does that membership mean? They actually sign up, and is that essentially a license that they can use to promote their business or their products?
It is. It's a certification. It's free and open to the public. You can go online and sign up to become a member. We have different categories and classifications for those different businesses, but as I mentioned, we're over 5,000 strong right now. So.
Let's talk the range of services. There are services like bed and breakfasts and that type of facility, and again, Margie Baldwin's farm, where people can come on board in many ways by a visit. That's more of a service than a specific product, I guess. But mm-hmm. I guess all the way down to the products that we see at farmers markets and in the shops.
Yes, sir. We have over 500 agritourism destinations across the state, and those businesses do a variety of different things, especially for the holidays. And as you prepare to get into the holiday season, those are great ways to start that whole season by shopping for Christmas trees or wreaths or going out and seeing these different spots and really getting that close connection with agriculture. And then, as I mentioned, we have restaurants that are Kentucky Proud members where they're buying and fixing meals that are all locally sourced agricultural products. And then, obviously, those agricultural businesses themselves, as well as anything that's related to agriculture, can be a part of Kentucky Proud.
So when you say a restaurant that is all locally sourced, if the restaurant bills itself as a Kentucky Proud facility, we can expect we're eating Kentucky products? And I mean, is there a percentage? Is there a requirement of, you know, how much needs to be included there? They can't just throw in, you know, some Kentucky herbs and consider it themselves a Kentucky-sourced facility.
Yeah, we our role really is to try to connect any business to Kentucky agricultural products. So, you know, obviously in Kentucky we have a growing season that's somewhat limited, but not you know, it's not as long as it would be in California necessarily, but there's plenty of seasonal fruits and vegetables that are available that those restaurants can source and prepare. Often, most of those restaurants will denote which items are Kentucky Proud, but we do have herb growers in the state. We have a variety of different types of agricultural products that can be served in our restaurants.
You're a state employee?
Yes, sir.
Why does the state care about this? Why did the state take this? And there's some legislation, I guess, that has occurred to establish Kentucky Proud as an entity, and there's ongoing legislation and of course, other elements that occur within the Department of Agriculture. Why is this government business?
It's important to support our agricultural industry as the populations grow and land becomes more scarce. You know, feeding ourselves and really being able to rely on that food production is important, I think, as a nation as well as to the Commonwealth. And so, I think it's unique in our nation that Kentucky has invested in this level to support our agricultural industry across the state. And these farm families are important to all of us. If you like to eat, you can thank a farmer three times a day, and that's important. So I think it's a worthy endeavor, and I think Kentucky can be proud that we support agriculture the way we do in the state.
I mean, at one time, coal was a major part of the economy of Kentucky, not quite as much as it once was. At one time, tobacco was a major feature of the Kentucky economy. Is this an effort, really, to kind of come to another level and recognize that despite the fact that some things that were historically important and historically supporting the Commonwealth of Kentucky and its people, there are so many other things that we can count on?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think diversification has become really important in agriculture and, it's important in business. And so looking at, tobacco acreage and people moving away from tobacco use, which is great for the health of our population. But from an agricultural perspective, Kentucky Proud is a way to hopefully help connect the dots and diversify some of those farms and offer up new opportunities for growth in agriculture.
Do you have some numbers in terms of economic impact of Kentucky Proud on the state? Or should we turn to Margie and a sample an example that she was showing us before the show here regarding what Kentucky Proud products are actually doing for us in the Commonwealth?
I'll be glad to share that. But I also wanted to comment about something Melanie said about Kentucky Proud and what it does for us. One of the things that has been most helpful to me and I'm sure to other Kentucky Proud members, is the marketing aspect of it. A lot of us farmers are really good at growing things.
That would be good.
But we're not very good at marketing. But, you know,
sure.
Growing is easy.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't have a drought. But marketing is something that we're mostly not familiar with, and we're not trained, and we're not savvy at those kinds of things. So for me, Kentucky Proud has just been terrific in terms of aiding my marketing skills and my marketing outreach.
Does that happen in a very specific way where somehow the Kentucky Proud brand actually markets your product, or is it just, again, that you're able to access that brand and put a sign up or put that on materials to just show that you're Kentucky Proud?
Wouldn't you say that the Kentucky Proud logo is like a stamp of quality in some ways? I mean, it's really put you in a league of quality products.
I think you're both right on every count. It is nice to have that stamp of approval that says the little label that says Kentucky Proud. I get these banners that have Kentucky Proud on them with Baldwin Farms, and a banner that says Buy Local. There are lots and lots of Kentucky Proud advantages, not to mention the cost share. I have cost share for advertising that I apply for and usually get every year. For it helps support my website and publications and brochures and things. So it's terrific.
Margie, I put you on the spot to find a picture that you showed us before the show. And maybe we might even be able to grab that and post that on our website after the show if you can let us. But tell us what you've got there.
Well, about a year ago during Christmas season, one of the Kentucky Proud people came down brought me this wonderful sign, and they put it on their website and used it for a little promotion for what Kentucky Proud would mean in Kentucky. So I'm just going to quote this little sign that the Kentucky Proud guy gave me. If every Kentucky family spent just 10% of its food dollars on Kentucky Proud items, it would generate more than $500 million to Kentucky farms and agriculture-related businesses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody did some math, and that's quite impressive. $500 million into the state's economy. And this is to people like yourself, local business persons, local farmers, people who are self-employed to a great extent, trying to make a go of it, doing what you do best, which is... probably a family history. How far back does farming go in your family?
Well, as far back as I can remember. I'm not a Kentucky girl originally. I'm from West Virginia. But as far back as our family history is traceable, we've been in farming.
Margie Baldwin is with us on this week's Eastern Standard with Baldwin Farms in Richmond. We have with us Melanie Blandford, Executive Director of Marketing for the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, and Gwen Hefner of the Kentucky Artisan Center in Berea. And we're going to meet Gwen in just a few moments, and we're going to hopefully hear from you. We're interested in your suggestions, your stories about Kentucky Proud products, how to have a Kentucky Proud holiday season, as we're just a week away from Thanksgiving. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or give us a call, 800-621-8890.
Why can the burning old heart yearning for the folks at home when Christmas time's a-coming? And your head in bell to ring up, bringing joy to all of your head.
One, two.
Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Kentucky Proud Holidays. How to have a Kentucky Proud holiday season is the topic of this week's program, and we have guest experts who can help us out, and we're interested and expecting your expert opinion on this topic as well. Let us know what Kentucky Proud products or services you have accessed. and how you have incorporated the Kentucky Proud brand into your holiday celebration in years past or in the upcoming holiday season. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post on the website or Facebook page. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Or give us a call, and we'll be glad to get you on the phone and get you on the air at 800-621-8890. With us in the studio, Gwen Hefner of the Kentucky Artisan Center, Margie Baldwin of Baldwin Farms in Richmond, and Melanie Blanford, Executive Director of Marketing for the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, and working with the Kentucky brand from a statewide perspective. And Melanie, you wanted to add something to some comments that Margie had just made.
Yeah, she mentioned our cost share grant, and I think that's important to let folks know that that's available. You do need to be a Kentucky Proud member to be eligible for the grant, but it's a way that we can help those businesses promote their business at the point of purchase. So it's called our Prop Grant, promotional point of sale grant. And we ask that those businesses assess their farm value, farm impact, and up to 10% of that. And so they can be eligible for $12,000 per year based on farm impact. And that is a 50-50 cost reimbursement grant. So in order to get $12,000, you'd need to spend $24,000, but you'd be reimbursed for half of it. And that covers a variety of things. It can be banners, as she mentioned, website development, radio advertisement, web, etc. So any way that you want to promote your business, we look for applicants to help facilitate that process.
The state government, the Department of Agriculture, supporting local businesses from the point of view of Kentucky Proud products and services.
Yes, sir.
Gwen Hefner, the Kentucky Artisan Center, millions upon millions of people drive by your place.
That's right.
Every year. I've seen numbers about the traffic on Interstate 75.
Yeah.
But Everyone who goes from Michigan to Florida and
Canada,
comes past your place.
Right, that's right.
What's there at the Kentucky Artisan Center?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things, especially for the holidays. It's a fabulous place to stop at the Kentucky Artisan Center. And one of the things that is really exciting about this season is that we have new products in that are focused on that kind of thing. A lot of Kentucky Proud products. Of course, we have over 150 specialty food vendors at the center, and they have to be Kentucky Proud products for us to carry them at the center. That's part of our agreement as a sister agency with the Department of Agriculture. And there are so many popular things there, not only foods, but we have a new sort of surge of bourbon industry products that have really taken off, and also grilling and sauces. They seem to be just going out the roof, and candy as well. We have cooking spices, specialty sauces and mixes, even gluten-free products we carry as well, jams and jellies, tea, even bacon and country ham products, and a wide variety of candy. We even carry Ale 8. Of course, we want to make sure we said that.
Which is a Kentucky product.
Right. And our candies are especially popular. There's lots of new varieties of Ruth Hunt Old Kentucky Chocolates and Woodford Reserve. And, of course, Ruth Hunt's Moon Patty is really, really, really popular. We order about $5,000 worth of candy every week at the Artisan Center. So it's our food products are a major part of our income level there. And the other thing we have at the center is, of course, the food products are the center of your table. But we also have woven coverlets and placemats and mats and wonderful pottery for serving and for use in the kitchen and for making your table the best it can be, as well as artwork that you could place in the center. So it's kind of hard to resist all of the things that are there when you walk in.
I mean, is the Artisan Center operated as a nonprofit?
The Artisan Center is a state agency.
Okay.
We are in the Tourism, Arts, and Heritage Cabinet. And so as that, we are here to promote every talented person who has something to offer from our state.
But
we have over...
It's operated as a business.
Yes, it is. We have over 700 vendors, and that includes everybody from someone who makes jellies, Kentucky Proud jellies or jams, to someone who does sculpture.
I have to confess, I have not been inside your center, as I've talked about you know, all the millions driving by.
Right.
I've done that thousands, not thousands, couple, a few dozen times myself. But so is it set up like a flea market? Is that the concept?
No, not at all, sir. It's a very formal business. Okay. Our products are
but
purchased.
But your 700 suppliers, they're like suppliers that provide like product any, to the grocery stores
like
and the big
boxes. Like any retail
boxes.
Business, okay. We purchase product and we sell product. And some of our higher-end arts pieces we will occasionally consign, but most of the work is purchased outright. And it's an amazing array of things. They're displayed according to kind of your interest and areas within the center. So not only is the center a selling place, that's a major part of us, but we're also a travel center. Our staff are cross-trained. They can tell you about a road closure or the weather conditions down the interstate. They can help you find local places if they want to stay a couple days in Berea. We have a Berea tourism person in our office. In the lobby, and they are there to tell everybody about the great places to go in the town of Berea as well. So we have many multiple functions. We're kind of a destination that way.
That is amazing, and that's information for many of our listeners who may have not, like myself, not really taken the effort to stop in there.
It's one of those common things where you live in a town and something's right in front of your face and you never kind of go any further than kind of glancing at it. So that's something we're working on and branding and getting more of a regional understanding of who we are. We've got some new billboards up on the interstate, and we're working on a new way to get the word out there. And we have exhibits and artist demonstrations this Christmas. All the week of the whole month, of December, we're focusing on music. So there'll be live performances on Saturdays. All of our events happen on Saturdays, as a rule.
Gwen Hefner is with the Kentucky Artisan Center. Also with us in the studio, Margie Baldwin of Baldwin Farms in Richmond and Melanie Blanford of the Department of Agriculture that oversees the Kentucky Proud brand and the marketing effort across the Commonwealth. And we're inviting listeners to be part of the show. We want your suggestions on how to have a Kentucky Proud holiday season. Maybe your success stories of what you have experienced or what you're planning to incorporate. What's going to be on your Thanksgiving table? What is on the table next Thursday that would be Kentucky Proud products? We'd be interested in hearing that. And how are you using Kentucky Proud products as holiday gifts this year? 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. That phone number once again, and a couple of people have called that number, and we're going to talk to them in a moment. That phone number, 800-621-8890. Let's go to line six. And talk to Daniel from Lexington. Daniel, thank you so much for being part of our Eastern Standard program. You are on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I am great, and we'll let the ladies speak for themselves.
We're fine.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, it's thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you all. I just wanted to make a comment. My wife and I own a farm-to-table restaurant in Lexington, and we moved back from out west. We were in Colorado for the last 10 years. And out in Colorado, the farm-to-table movement was really starting to gain a lot of traction. And people were really, in communities, were coming out in hordes to support that movement. And coming back to Lexington, which the irony is that out west, the soil isn't nearly as good as it is out here. And so the food doesn't grow nearly as easily and naturally out there. And so we have such an abundance here in the central Kentucky area of really amazing farm fresh food. And so we felt that it was really important for us to support that and to kind of, you know, strengthen our community through supporting local farms. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback so far, and a lot of people, we do monthly farm dinners through the summer and some really cool outreach programs that get to connect people with the farmers, you know, our customers with the farmers. And I think what I would love to see more of is more restaurants, because people, you know, when you see something local in the grocery store and you may purchase that and you feel good about supporting local, but we all go out to eat however often we do. And oftentimes there's just not that support or that extra energy and time put into from a restaurant perspective. Or from a restaurant owner perspective or a chef's perspective, to really trying to shop locally and work with local farms. And it can be a little bit more of a logistical challenge, but it's so rewarding to see the response that we get from these farmers who really are so passionate about what they're doing. And they want to grow. They all tell us the same thing. They all want to be able to grow their farm, to be able to grow their livelihood. And as soon as the demand is there, they will rise up to meet that. And so we're really just trying to help lead that movement of other restaurants and really supporting that.
Now, Daniel, at the risk of giving you an opportunity to do some blatant promotion, what is your restaurant?
we are Table 310 in downtown Lexington.
Table 310.
Like the numbers, but all spelled out. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. And this is in downtown. Where downtown?
We are on Short Street between Broadway and North Mill.
Just
around the corner from Rupp Arena and all of that.
Close to where the farmer's market in that area is downtown.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Excellent. We're about a half a block away from
cheap,
the farmer's
cheap side
market.
Area.
We'll have to all come.
Yeah. Well, we would love to have you.
So what, I mean, if one comes to your restaurant, what might I order that would be a very Kentucky-focused meal that would include Kentucky Proud products?
That's a really fun thing. During the summer months when produce is really, pumping out from the local area, we had about 80% of our produce and meats were all coming from within 50 miles of the restaurant, within the state of Kentucky. And that's something we were really proud of. Now, during the winter months, it can be a little harder to source all of your produce locally, but we still really do try to work with that as much as possible. And I think all but one of our protein sources and occasionally the seafood that we use is all sourced from within the state as well. So it's definitely more of a logistical challenge because we're having to do smaller orders more often with different farmers. And as it is in small business and with farms too, you're at the whim of nature sometimes. And we didn't get to really use asparagus on our summer menu at all this year because of all of that rain in May washed out almost all the asparagus locally. And so rather than, buy it from Mexico, we really felt that we wanted to honor our commitment and just not serve asparagus except for a very, very short season because we couldn't get it locally.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much. Very enlightening, and we learned that really tells us more about what we can experience from a Kentucky Proud point of view. Daniel calling from Lexington, and we'll let Daniel go and open up that line for you if you'd like to get on board and tell us about your business, the product that you're experiencing, that you've experienced as a Kentucky Proud product or service. Feel free to do a little bit of promotion here. We're public radio. People aren't paying us to promote what they're doing. On today's show, we thought we'd lighten things up a little bit as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday and the season that is going to be with us and for the next month and a half or so. 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at wekuest. Folks around the table, any comments about Daniel, his restaurant, or the example that it sets for us?
I just want to, from the Department of Agriculture's perspective, just commend Daniel for what his restaurant's efforts are, because I think it's so important. And the more folks are asking for Kentucky grown and locally sourced foods, that just drives interest and awareness about these farm families. And so just want to commend him for that. I think that's awesome that he's doing that. And encourage folks to ask for those locally sourced foods at their restaurants throughout the year, really.
I mean, his restaurant in downtown Lexington, kind of right in the heart, in the center of everything, how far will you have to travel from where he's located to find other businesses doing the same thing? Is it real common, like in downtown Lexington, if you want to go shopping or find a meal?
Yeah.
Or
literally across the street. I mean, where he is in downtown Lexington, there's I think Lexington is such a foodie town, just like Louisville is and so many of our other cities across the state. And, literally across the street, you could find other restaurants that are sourcing local.
And on the window, the door going in, you're going to see a little logo that tells you it's a Kentucky Proud facility?
Absolutely. We hope so. And if not, they can take advantage of our promotional grant, and we'll be happy to help them with that and any promotional efforts that they have.
That's what I was thinking of when you talked about your grant program. I thought, well, there we are. Then you could incorporate restaurants and have a list of products when they're available, who in their region it's available from, and that kind of thing. Yeah. That'd be great.
Margie, you wanted to chime in?
Yeah. I did, because we've had some experience this summer with selling fresh produce to a chef by the name of Tim Engel, and he uses the fresh vegetables and sells out of a food truck. And it's been highly popular in the Richmond area and in Lexington, too, where he features so many vegetarian meals, but mostly he uses fresh vegetables to make these wonderful gourmet kind of dishes in a piece of plastic.
And we'll see that food truck in Richmond and Madison County?
Yes, he comes to our Madison County Farmers Market.
On Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's on the EKU campus when we have the Farmers Market as a part of the Healthy U at EKU effort.
Let's go back to the phone and talk to Christian in Lexington, who's called 800-621-8890 this morning. Christian, thank you so much for being with us. Go right ahead.
I wanted to say thank you for your amazing conversation today. It really heartens me that we're talking local. I appreciate it.
Oh, gladly. Glad to do so. Now, did I understand that you wanted to say something about possibly extending the Kentucky Proud or Kentucky products to school menus?
Yeah, we just moved to Lexington from Louisville, and my daughter went to Louisville Public Schools, and you know, I wasn't really impressed with the industrial food back then, although I knew they were trying hard. And now I think once a year around Derby time, they do have a local meal, ragu, which is great. But I would always shop the farmers markets, and we had a CSA, and make her a hot lunch every day and eat with her. And the other kids, you know, always wanted to steal food off her plate. And I was kind of wondering, you know, what if Kentucky Proud could go deeper into our school lunch programs and maybe even the breakfast programs, sort of like an 80-20 rule? So instead of getting really cheap, unripe food that was, if they want to call ripening on a truck, you know, was whatever gas they used to do that, what if 80% of our kids' post-school lunches came from Kentucky, where it was riper, had more nutrients? Wouldn't that make a dent in our, you know, diabetes and obesity problems that we're seeing so prevalent now?
Absolutely. Thanks for the comment, Christian. We do work with schools, and some of their challenges there obviously are cost prohibition with, you know, the price of some of the local foods. But we source a lot of apples locally grown in Kentucky, as well as milk. And as many products as we can, we try to connect through those school systems. And as you pointed out, I think it's so important when you're looking at your purchases and trying to source these different things locally. It is about that freshness and that quality, and it goes beyond this economic impact that we've talked about today, really to our nutrition and the freshness and availability of those products locally grown is important to our diet. So appreciate the comment.
Thank you, Christian, for your call. We have a line or two open if you'd like to be part of our show. We have a couple of people waiting on the line to interact with us during today's Eastern Standard. Kentucky Proud. How are you incorporating Kentucky Proud products or services into your holiday season this year? Give us a shout at 800-621-8890 or send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Place like home for the holidays, and no place like my old Kentucky home. This is Eastern Standard. We're talking about observing the holidays and making them Kentucky Proud holidays. We're interested in your stories, your experiences of doing so, your questions, your comments from our guests. We have a guest in the studio, Melanie Blandford of the Department of Agriculture, Margie Baldwin, who operates a farm in Richmond and very much involved in agritourism. What did Melanie say? There were 500 or so agritourism facilities in the Commonwealth?
Yes, I think that's right. I think I have a real advantage here talking about my farm, because there's so many wonderful agritourism farms, you know, all around Lexington.
And we'll put out the shout to your colleagues from other farms to call in.
Right.
Oh, well, thank you. But our farm is one of the few Christmas tree farms. We have a lot fewer Christmas tree farms than we do just agritourism farms. And it's a challenge to raise Christmas trees. It takes an awful long time to get a tree that you can actually sell, like 6 to 8 years from the time it goes in the ground. But it's very, very rewarding in terms of personal pleasure that you get as a farmer to see your farm being used as a backdrop for families to come and make memories together. I feel like it's kind of a mission for me, even because it's so so wonderful to participate in that family tradition for people.
I assume it makes your holidays more special.
Yeah, well, of course it does. It's
and busy,
makes,
right?
It makes my holidays a little bit hectic, to say the least. I'm one of these Christmas Eve shoppers.
So you'll have to come to the Artisan Center.
Probably.
Let me give the phone number one more time and encourage you to get on the line if you operate a local farm and want to tell us about the services you're providing and your Kentucky Proud products. Give us a call, 800-621-8890. Let's go back to the phone and talk to Cody. And Cody, thank you so much for being part of Eastern Standard. Go right ahead with your question or your comment. Cody, are you there?
Hi, this is – yes, I'm here. Thanks for having this conversation today. I think it's really an important conversation to be having. So I've only been in Kentucky for a couple years now, two to be precise, and I'm a graduate student. And I thought, you know, this year I'm going to host Thanksgiving for my family. So I'm having my family down here this weekend, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna try to do as much local as possible. And as I'm doing the shopping – man, I'm looking at the prices and I'm going, wow, it's kind of hard to have a giant Thanksgiving dinner, buy a turkey, buy all the vegetables, et cetera, with Kentucky Proud products and be able to afford them. So I'm hoping you might be able to speak a little bit more to those who want to do just what I'm doing, not just graduate students, but, you know, other Kentuckians who want to have a Thanksgiving on a budget of sort. What kind of advice can you give?
One of the challenges, I assume, for marketing Kentucky Proud products or anything locally grown or anything local is you're in competition with major grocery chains or the major big box chains that sell everything at rock bottom, lowest possible prices because they sell billions of those products. How can the Kentucky Proud products compete so people can really make that affordable?
Well, thanks for the call, Cody, and thanks for putting forth the effort to really source your meal for the holidays with Kentucky Proud. I think, you know, obviously that is a challenge for several of us that are on a budget and that kind of thing, but with an interest in supporting these local businesses and farm families, I think sourcing some of the key elements of your dinner around Kentucky Proud and Kentucky locally grown food would be key, not just for the interest in keeping those dollars close to home, but also because the quality and the freshness and the taste is going to be so exceptional. So the turkey, for example, we have turkey producers that are all over the state from Pike County all the way to Callaway County in the west. We have several different members that have those turkeys available for the holiday season, as well as hams that touch all corners of the state. And you can source any of those items on our website, which is KentuckyProud.com. You can do that geographically as well as by item. And so I would just encourage trying to pick some key elements of your meal to invest in for local. And then obviously some of those other items, you know, our produce isn't as readily available in the winter as it is in the summer. And so those may be even more expensive to try to source those locally. So just trying to create that balance and pick and choose what's important around that family meal, I think, is one of the keys.
Margie, as a local businesswoman, you don't You don't sell turkeys, I assume.
I do not.
But could you tell us the challenges, you know, like why might a turkey cost more from a local turkey grower than from the supermarket, and what impact that has on a family? We talk about buying local, and you're helping somebody pay for their family. You're helping them put shoes on their children. You're helping them to be able to pay their mortgage or pay for their lives. I mean, there must be a solid reason why a product might be a little bit more expensive from a local grower.
Well, I think that you already touched on that because the big growers can grow much more economically than we can, than a small grower, because they sell more. Their margin of profit is less. They might be happy with 1%, whereas a local grower, a small grower, might need 20%. I don't know those numbers exactly, but...
So if you pay $20 for a turkey, the big store is going to be able to sell it for $10 because they don't take as much. They don't need as much because they're going to make money because of the volume.
That is correct. But the quality, again, is very different. And I think what Melanie said about, you know, you have to just find a balance in there. You may not be able to get everything that you would like, especially if price is a factor. From a Kentucky Proud source, but get what you can. You can't get cranberries here. But.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about. That. Yeah. I think that probably, you know, what Melanie said is I agree with also, but a number of times I've thought myself, and if you bought a product or an item, say even a sweet potato or a potato or something that had multiple uses in your meal, you could buy that product, Kentucky Made, and maybe have mashed potatoes and then maybe have a potato pancake for the next breakfast. And, you know, there are multiple foods you can produce from one item. You know, that's a creative chef realm, but something that would help spread that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Locally made.
I think, John, too, when we started with Kentucky Proud, one of the biggest obstacles we had was distribution across the state. But in the last several years, we've just had so many businesses come to the table that are supporting that industry and that distribution of those products, which drive down prices for the consumers. And I think it's important that the consumers keep demanding it, because that's how we can make sure that these distributors and all of this infrastructure around our food is paying attention and looking for products like what Baldwin Farms offers, and, you know, all of these different great growers and families across our state. And it's that consumer demand, that voice, that's going to drive this movement forward. So
this is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. A few minutes remaining, 10 minutes or so remaining on our live broadcast on Thursday morning. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, we're going back to the phone in a moment, but there is a line open for you at 800-621-8890. One of you had a comment before we go back to the phone?
Yeah, I wanted to say something in terms of handmade, locally grown, and the whole thing. And at the Artisan Center, everything there is made by hand. And it's the same issue of wanting something made by hand, from the heart, from the head, has more value, of course. And, of course, it's going to cost more. So you have to sort of make a choice and a balance there between industrial foods or industrial products of any kind, and some alternative. And we have had producers who have started out very small and had one line or one, say, grilling sauce, and the demand was so huge they had to expand, and then they had to, you know, go to another distributor, and they have five lines now. So it's wonderful to watch these small businesses grow, and with the support of the Department of Agriculture and other you know, programs, it's really made a big difference in our entrepreneurship in our state. All across the board, not just in foods.
Tell us your story. How are you incorporating Kentucky Proud products and services into your holidays? 800-621-8890. Let's talk to Drew from, I guess you're in Berea. Drew, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling kind of to plug a few different things here. I'm with the Berea Farmers Market. We actually know Miss Baldwin quite well. She's great. So, hi there.
Hi, Drew.
I actually am a Kentucky Proud vendor as well. I operate Clementine's Bake Shop. I've called into the program a few times, actually. But I wanted to mention that the Berea Farmers Market is great. We have a lot of great gifts there, a lot of great food, and we operate year-round. And I just wanted to mention that we have a winter location set up, which we've been struggling to find. It's going to be at the Methodist Parish House on Fee Street, and it's 10 to 1 every Saturday. So
that's great.
I just want to encourage everyone to come on down.
Must be a big parish house.
It is. It's pretty big.
It's fairly large.
Square feet.
So close to your summer
location. We
got
very lucky. They've been very generous with their offer to let us use it for real cheap. So.
And there's parking there, too. That's very nice.
Excellent.
Yeah. I need to go check out the Artisan Center. They sound great. I haven't gotten a chance to get in there yet.
Well, we actually, when the Artisan Center opened, we had the Berea Farmers Market in our parking lot, and you outgrew us. Because
yeah,
we needed
well,
so we were an early supporter of the Berea Farmers Market at the Artisan
yeah,
Center.
Yeah, no, I remember that. And mm-hmm. I actually meant for my business personally, we should see if we can get some of our baked goods in there because I bet they'd do real well over there.
Well, you just need to apply. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll have to come check you all out. It just hadn't occurred to me yet.
Please
but
do.
I mainly just wanted to plug the farmers market. And I did actually have a tip for Cody that called in earlier about getting stuff cheap for his Thanksgiving meal. And you know, you should try and go to some of these farmers markets as they're closing because a lot of times people have stuff they don't want to take home with them.
Right.
You have to excuse the timer going off there. I'm actually working.
Biscuits are ready.
Making as
yeah,
he talks.
That's right. I'm
that's
hard.
Great, Drew.
yeah, and so sometimes people are happy to get rid of stuff a little cheaper at the end. And also the small grocers that are, you know, almost every town has a small grocery store. Here in Berea, it's Happy Meadows. There's Market on Main in Somerset and Good Foods Co-op in Lexington. And, you know, they have a much larger variety than any single farmer's market would of Kentucky Proud stuff, obviously. But sometimes they have better deals than you expect, too. So,
all right, Drew, thank you. Thanks so much for the suggestion and for the comments and advice for our listeners. And we're grateful for your tuning in and participating in Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890 is our number. Still time for you to get on board and be part of the show. Margie, very quickly, yeah, I was going to ask about he's talking about the farmer's market in Berea having a winter location. What, like in the Richmond, Madison County farmers, it's Richmond, both Madison County. What happens to the farmer's market in Richmond?
The farmers markets in Richmond pretty well have to shut down. Mm-hmm. We do not have a winter location, but before we close here, I wanted to say that at Baldwin Farms in Christmas tree season, we sell not only Christmas trees, but a lot of other things. Of course, the wreaths and the garland and the things that are evergreen, but we sell a lot of honey. We sell salsa and jams and sorghum and LA1 barbecue sauce and
that's great.
Wooden crafts, handmade crafts and hair bows and hand-painted barn board. No, the pumpkins are...
They're over, aren't they?
They are over. Well, on Halloween, we try to start doing away with pumpkins, and I fed the last one to the chickens this morning. So.
That's great.
Let's go back to the phone, talk to Parham. Parham, thank you for being on the line. What's your comment for our show today?
Well, actually, I'm probably echoing what the last caller said. I was calling you with the same comments about not only buying Kentucky Proud products, but buying them from a local grocer or the farmer's market. I think that's another great way to support the community and keep the dollars here in Kentucky.
Excellent. Excellent suggestion.
We all agree.
Thank you so much for calling in and being part of the show. We still have a few minutes remaining on this week's Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890. How are you incorporating Kentucky Proud products into your holiday celebration? Now, what about the big box stores and the big chain supermarkets? Are there Kentucky Proud products in those facilities? How would I know that if I go in the produce aisle and there's all this stuff spread out? Is there something that would direct me to Kentucky products?
Kroger's actually has a Kentucky Proud area. They have over, 125 Kentucky Proud products in there?
Yeah, some stores have even more. We're in over 100 Kroger stores. They all have kiosks. They have a natural food section that often have Kentucky Proud products as well as a display that'll just be all Kentucky Proud products. But we have some amazing businesses in Kentucky that are national chains such as Purnell Sausage, and they really do a lot for farm families in Kentucky. And so a lot of those products, once they're on that national level, are more affordable.
And they're just kind of blended in with the other products on the shelves.
They are, but most of those businesses are very proud of their heritage and being from Kentucky, and so they'll use the Kentucky Proud logo as well. And as I mentioned, our website is a great place to find out what you're buying and if it's Kentucky Proud.
Speaking of which, I think Peter on the line here has a question related to exactly that. Peter, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
I would like to know if I'm guessing the Agriculture Department publishes a list or a booklet of somewhat unusual fruits and vegetables and cheeses in particular.
So basically, do they provide materials and a way for you to access the listing of what products are available?
We do. We partner with a variety of different advertisers. We just worked with Kentucky Monthly on their gift guide, and we tried to pick a variety of Kentucky Proud vendors and retail folks that serve and sell a lot of different types of Kentucky Proud items, and that's a good resource for that gift season. There's so many things that you wouldn't even think of, things that Gwen mentioned, for example, soaps from goat's milk that's produced right here in Kentucky, all the way to all these different beautiful arts and crafts, as well as these food items and cheeses. We have some amazing cheese artisan craft businesses in Kentucky, and those are in a variety of different locations. You can download an Excel list of all of the Kentucky Proud members, but also through our website you can search for those specific types of items and generate a list for yourself.
Sounds like if you download that list, you better replace your printer cartridge and get plenty of paper.
Or just keep an electronic version, yeah.
Cut and paste.
Well, I'd like to add one thing to what you said, Melanie, and that is that for people who are not computer savvy and don't even know what the web means, like me sometimes, if people in their own home counties need information about this, the county extension offices have that,
right.
And they
That's
are very easy to call, only a phone call away, and so that would be your resource to find this.
Absolutely, as is our department. We're all about trying to help folks find what they need. So.
Well, if you come to the Artisan Center, you can see it all lined up on the shelf and make your choices there.
We are grateful for these resources, these three resources who have been part of our show today. Gwen Hefner of the Artisan Center in Berea, real easy to find.
Off I-75 at Berea Exit 77.
Margie Baldwin, Baldwin Farms. How do we find Baldwin Farms?
We are on Tate's Creek Road in Richmond, only 3.5 miles from Main Street.
Okay, and I'm sure we can Google that up and put that into your phone, and it'll take you right there. And Melanie Blanford of the Department of Agriculture, go to the KY Proud, Kentucky Proud. Just Google that up, and it's like right there, all of your resources.
Yes,
are right
sir, KentuckyProud.com.
Excellent. Thank you to Melanie, Gwen, and Margie for being part of our show. Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Our associate producer is Grant Willoughby, who organized for the most part today's show. Brian Burkhart and Marissa Hempel. Our technical director is Brian Bartlett. A reminder, the show will be available as a podcast or able to be listened to directly from the website at weku.fm. Write to us at any time, weku eastern standard@gmail.com. I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in for Eastern Standard.